Let me invite you to take your Bibles, please, for the remainder of our time, and go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I began a short Christmas teaching sermon series last Sunday entitled God's Christmas List. And as I said to you last week, almost every person, especially if you've got young kids, has some kind of Christmas list with things on it that you would like to receive. And in the spirit of giving, what we do is we take things off of that list and we give those to individuals that we love in hopes of inspiring them and showing them how much that we care about them. But I think it's of no surprise to us that God also has a Christmas list of things that He wants from us. And again, I think just a very simple study of the Scriptures helps us to understand exactly what He wants from us. As I said to you last week, God wants us to be saved, God wants us to live holy, and God wants us to make disciples. And so last Sunday morning, we talked about how vital it is, not just important, vital it is for people to be saved. And today we look at how important it is now as saved individuals, as Christians, that it is to live in a holy manner. You have your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 14 and verse 15 in just a moment. But let me just be truthful with us, and I think all of us would say this to be true. Anytime we hear the word holy or we hear the word holiness, it's words that we run from. Now, it shouldn't be, but these are words that we run from. Because the truth is, we often, in our normal everyday lives, we run from words or thoughts or directives that are difficult sometimes for us to understand or seemingly unattainable. Sometimes you think back into your school days that you ran from math class. You didn't want to have to do anything with algebra or calculus or geometry because it was hard to understand. It seemed like I'd never be able to do that proof, and so I just pushed it to the side. Some of you, when it comes to financial planning for the future, you kind of run from that because you think you can't afford to retire. You can't afford to save any money for the future, and so you just don't do anything today because it's something that seems unattainable. Men, sometimes when our wives look at us and say, honey, I'd like to talk to you about our relationship, it's almost an automatic turnoff when we run out the door because we know that we are in uncharted waters when it comes to that. We run from things we don't like. We run from things that are difficult. We run from things that seem to be unattainable. When we mention the word holy, we mention the word holiness as it relates to God, the Bible, the church. It seems as if these words are only used to describe God. They're only for God, and we'll never be like Him. So if we're never going to be like Him and perfect as He is, then let's just run away from this idea of holiness and this idea of being holy. And so what we do is we decide to avoid it completely. You'll listen to me preach about it. You'll read about it, but you'll just move on because you think I'll never be able to attain a level of holiness that God is going to be satisfied with. But may I say to you today that on God's Christmas list, He wants you and I as believers to be holy. That's what He wants. And so as we look in God's Word at 1 Peter chapter 1, notice with me in verse 14 and in verse 15. He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Then add verse 16 now. He says, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Again, he says, first of all, so important that we be saved. And then as we become believers in Christ and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, then he says, you be holy as I am holy. Now, to live holy is really to live a life in a new nature, to live life in a new nature. Now, this is true, and think about this for a second. Children inherit the nature of their parents. And so the Bible says to us, and we know that God is holy, therefore as His saved children this morning, we should be holy as well. And so we are holy like Him, and we are holy representing God, and we give Him glory there when we respect Him, when we live like Him, when we treat His word with reverence and respect. Now, the root meaning of the word translated holy is this idea of different. And a holy person is not an odd person, but a holy person is a different person. There's a quality about his or her life that's different. His present lifestyle is different from his past lifestyle. His lifestyle that he's leading today is different from the culture around them. It's just different. Now, to the average person, again, when this idea of holiness or holy is mentioned, it's misunderstood to be a person has some kind of a pious kind of attitude, or somehow their lifestyle is going to be very abnormal to what everybody else is living. Listen, I believe today that the Lord wants us to enjoy life and to have fun in it. I believe that to be true. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of fun that seems to be in the world today and according to the world standards, but I believe today that God certainly wants us to have fun, and he wants us to enjoy the life and the beauty that he's given to us. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, in his preaching, said this. He says, holiness is to the spiritual life what health is to the physical life. You like to see a person who is physically fine, robust, and healthy. He says, well, holiness is to be healthy and robust spiritually. It's not to be the oddball. It's not to be the outlier. It's not to be this crazy, fanatical kind of person, in a sense. It's the idea that you and I are living in a healthy, robust, spiritually mature lifestyle, trying to be like God every single day that we possibly can. That's the new nature that he's called us to. And although you and I as humans will never attain this absolute perfection that God is in this life, we know that today. But I do believe that we can grow, we can mature, we can develop spiritually to be as much like him as possible. Listen, a little child in a crib, a little boy or a little girl in a crib is beautiful and precious. But when that child is 18 years old and still living in that crib, then we understand that something is wrong. The idea of you and I as Christians is, yes, as we are saved, we are infants in the Lord, but we're not to remain as infants. We're to grow in holiness. We're to grow in likeness of who God is and his own character. It's sad today that there's so many Christians that are saved, but they don't want to grow up. They don't want to live holy. They don't want to live like God. Our society today is kind of stuck on those individuals that want to stay in their parents' basement and live at home as long as they possibly can, playing video games and refusing to grow up. Well, can I say today that that's in the church as well? And how sad that that is. The idea of holiness is not something for us to run from. It's the idea of something for us to run to, because we have a new nature in God and he wants us to be more like him. But secondly, you'll see today to live holy is to live life in obedience. To live in obedience. Now, true holiness is experienced when believers are not being conformed to their former lust. The word conformed that's used in our text this morning means to be shaped by or to be fashioned after. He says to us that unsaved individuals, unsaved people, they lack a spiritual intelligence. And this causes them to give themselves over to all kinds of worldly, fleshly desires and fleshly indulgences. You think about the unsaved world. You think about your life before you gave your life to Christ. And you begin to think about sinful desires and thoughts and evil longings and uncontrolled appetites and sensual impulses and just unrighteous motivations and urges that we've had. That's all part of the former lifestyle. That's all part of the life that we lived before we gave our life to Christ. And so for believers, such lust that were part of our sinfulness were many times there because of ignorance. They were there before we got saved because, in a sense, we didn't know any better. As one writer said, ignorance led to indulgence. Now that you're a Christian, now that you're saved, now that you're a Christ follower, you begin to understand that is true. And may I say to us today, that if it wasn't for the grace and the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God Almighty, we'd still be in that awful state. Aren't you glad today that God can change us, that God can save us, that God can clean us up, and that God can give us joy and peace to be able to live in a new nature, to be obedient to his word, something that we shouldn't run from, but something that we should embrace because it's a special thing that God has given to us. But in addition, true holiness is experienced by salvation, this creation of a new life that has both desire, that has also the power to be able to live a holy life. You and I as believers today, we were made holy, in a sense, at conversion. And it's this initial sanctification that sets us apart as God's. But God's also enabled us through the Holy Spirit, designed us to be able to live out practical holiness in our lives. The way of life that we have, the behaviors that we have, the Holy Spirit living in us, designed to help us to live according to the Word of God and to be more like God. And so what this separation to God then shows itself in the separation from wrongdoing, and it's showing us being separated to living for God. Many of us would testify today and say, listen, I may not be what I ought to be and all that God wants me to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen? And so when we got saved and we gave our hearts and lives to Christ, then we're separated from that wrongdoing and we're separating ourselves to follow God and to live according to His will. Notice these verses here as the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3. He kind of puts all of this together and he says this. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now, he says, you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Yes, we are saved today. But before we got saved, we were made in the likeness and the image of God. And then after we became a Christ follower, we not only lived and took that image that we've been created in the likeness of God, but now the Holy Spirit is trying to enable us to be more like God, to act more like Him, to think more like Him, to have our passions and our desires to be more like Him. That's the idea of holiness. That's the idea of the obedience that God wants from us. And in this life, believers cannot be sinless again as God is. But no less than holiness is the goal by which the Word of God and the Spirit of God has equipped us to enable us to be ongoing in our obedience, to follow the Word of God, to follow the will of God each and every day. But then there's one last thing about holiness that Peter shares with us. He says to live holy is to live with responsibility. To live with responsibility. God's gracious gift of salvation includes responsibility. It's not just about privilege this morning. And I know this to be true, and you know this to be true as well. It is not easy to live in this world. It's not easy to maintain a holy walk with God with the pressures that are all around us. The anti-God atmosphere around us that the Bible calls the world is constantly pressing against us, trying to get us to conform to their standards, not the Word's standards, but the world's standards. Trying to get us to back down, trying to get us to give in to our selfish pursuits. So the first step that you and I need to really ask ourselves this morning, as we live in this filthy world of sin that's all around us, what does the Bible say about what God wants me to be and what God wants me to do? If you really want to live holy, that's where it's going to kind of start. The responsibility that you and I have to find out from God's Word what He wants us to be and how He wants us to live. In the Scriptures, you're going to find promises, you're going to find precepts, you're going to find principles, you're going to find people that's going to help guide us in the decisions that we need to make on a regular day. Dr. Warren Wiersbe adds in his commentary, he says, we do not study the Bible just to get to know the Bible. We study the Bible that we might get to know God better. And it's so important. Now, I understand that God's methods, in a sense, of reaching the world and ministering to people may change from age to age. But may I say to us today that the truths and the principles and the precepts that God's Word has from the very beginning to now and to the future, those never change. And they're always applicable to us today. We have a responsibility to know what they are. We have a responsibility to lead them out in our lives. We have a responsibility to know God. And we're to take that responsibility and be holy in all of our behaviors, in all of our lifestyle, in everything that we do, so that our life reflects a holiness of who God is and what God wants us to be. It involves a separation, again, from what is unclean. And it involves this complete devotion to what is true and righteous and holy. As one writer said, we're exchanging the former lust for a new family likeness. You call yourself a Christian today. You belong to the greatest family in all the world. It is the family of God. And as a Christian today, you ought to want to be like that. That's who you ought to want to be like, to associate with, and to be like that each and every day. And to a dedicated believer, I just add this little side note. There's no difference between secular and sacred. There's not. There's not a difference, and we sometimes do that. Because really, all of life, everywhere you go, is the idea about being holy. Our everyday, day-to-day activities, everything we do should be geared toward bringing God glory in His life, and in this life. And so today, we want to separate church. We want to separate from work. We want to separate from school. We want to separate from family time. And we'll call this is sacred time. And we'll call the other, we'll call that secular time. But it's all sacred. Our life every day is about bringing glory to God and living holy every single moment that we have. Now the statement that's given there in verse 16, if you'll notice that in the text, "You shall be holy for I am holy." That's really a direct quotation from Leviticus in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. It deals with the ceremonial cleanness and a manner of diet, detailing at length which animals were to be clean, which animals were to be marked as unclean in the sacrifices. And so what the Old Testament is trying to get across to us, what God is trying to say to us today, is that these clean animals that were used, they remind us of how our inward life and our outward life must constantly be pleasing to God. Not just here at church, not just when it's convenient, but the idea that our life has to be pleasing to Him each and every day on the inside and on the outside. And so holiness, it cannot be legislated. I can't stand up here today and guilt you into it. I can't stand up here today and legislate it in your life. I can't stand here today and get you to sign paper after paper after paper. It has to be something that comes from your heartfelt passion to do whatever you can to be as responsible as you can, to live as close to who God is and what His Word says every single moment. It's your heart. It's not what I'm saying to you. It's your passion. It's not what I'm forcing you to do. God wants us to live for Him because we love Him. God wants us to be like Him because we desire to be like Him. That's the idea of holiness. And so the dominant and the compelling reason for God's people really to live in holiness is their relationship to God. I wonder today, do you have a relationship with God? Do you? Have you given your life to Him in salvation? Have you trusted Him? Have you trusted in His Son to save you from your sins? Do you have a relationship? If you say, "Pastor, I do. I do have a relationship with God." Well, then we ask a follow-up question. How healthy is that relationship? How healthy is your relationship with the Lord? Do you truly love God? And do you prove that by your obedience? Do you prove that by your service and your holiness? Do you separate from what is immoral? Do you separate from that and separate to what is clean and what is righteous? What's going on in your life today? What's happening today? How healthy is it? I believe there exist way too many unholy believers today because they have little desire to mature and to be like God, to obey His Word, to take responsibility for their actions. Holiness will not be seen as long as Christians truly don't fall in love with God. And they don't do what God's Word says. And they're not concerned about serving and being obedient to it. They don't care about their actions. They don't care about what they do on a daily basis. We're not going to see holiness as long as that attitude prevails. And so it comes back to you. It comes back to your relationship. It comes back to your desire. It comes back to your heart. It comes back to what you intend to do. Because the reality is we do and we love what's most important to us. I wonder if God's important to you. I know you're in church today. I know you've clapped. I know you've prayed. I know you've sung today. But I'm asking you, how important is God in your life today? Do you know Him today in salvation? Do you know Him today? Is your life healthy today? Are you living a holy life? Are you living in holiness today? A couple of years ago, we were given a basketball goal for our family that was adjustable. Now, we know that if you're playing basketball, there's a 10-foot goal that's the standard regulation. But we were given a basketball goal that was adjustable. Well, now that Blake has hit a little bit of a growth spurt in the last year, he decided that dunking a basketball is very important. Well, it wasn't just quite enough to hit the 10-foot mark yet, so what do? Well, he cranked it on down till about the 8-foot mark. And when he started slamming it on the 8-foot mark, and he started slamming it over top of me on the 8-foot mark, he decides he's going to crank it up to the 9-foot mark. And so he's over there, "Hey, Dad, come out here, I'm going to show you something." "What are you going to show me?" "Watch this, I'm going to dunk it on the 9-foot." And now he's trying to crank it up to the 9.5 feet, and he's trying to dunk it there. So for the last year and a half, all we've done at our house is play dunk ball. You know, it's pretty cool. So he started shooting on that goal. I started shooting on that goal. And, you know, we've got smaller basketballs, and it's just easy. And, man, we're just shooting. And, you know, when the goal's a little lower, you shoot a little flatter. So he's been shooting on that goal for the last year and a half. And this year we started basketball, and he got fouled, and he went to the free throw line, and he shot the basketball. And I looked at Paula, and I said, "What in the world was that?" Now, he didn't airball it, but it was like a line drive shot. And I thought, wait a minute. I know he's my son, but he's always had a pretty good shot. I mean, he's had good form. He jumps up at a good height. He has a nice release. He flips his wrist. The ball spins. There's a nice arc to his shot. And for whatever reason, that didn't happen. It was like, choop, just like that. And he missed the first one. And I thought, okay, let's try this again. And he shot it the exact same way the second time. And I thought, dude, what are you doing? And then it hit me. And I looked at Paul and I said, I know what the problem is. He's been shooting on this dunk goal for the last year and a half, and he's shooting this way because it's lower instead of higher, and he doesn't have to put as much arc on the ball, and now he's paying for the repercussions of it. I say that illustration today to show you this. You know what we want to do in life? We want to lower the standards. You know why we want to lower the standards? Because it's cool. "Hey, Dad, watch this. I'm going to dunk on this. I'm going to hang on the rim, Dad. Watch this. Hey, be careful. I'm going to dunk on you, Dad." Until I put my hip into him and he hit the side of the wall. He may be skinny, but I'm manly, amen? But it's cool. And all the boys, that's what they want to do. They want to dunk. They want to dunk it as fast as they can. You know, nobody wants to shoot the three-pointer. Nobody wants to shoot a nice jump shot. Everybody wants to dunk and posterize somebody in their face. That's what they want to do. And it's cool and it's pleasurable when we bring down the standards and we hang out there. Except, you see, the standard that he now plays on the basketball team is not 8 foot. It's not 9 foot. It's not 9.5 feet. It's 10 feet. And by the way, that's the standard that it's always been. And you can shoot all day at 8.5 feet and 9.5 feet, and you're going to miss all of them. It's only when you hit the standard at 10 feet and the ball goes in that it actually counts, and you score, and you succeed, and you win. In our life today, all we want to do is bring down the standards of God's Word. We want to bring down the standards where it's comfortable for us to live in. We want to bring down the standards where it's easy for us to feel good about being a Christian and for us to feel good about going to heaven. And it's easy for us to kind of do a little over here and we kind of do a little over there, and we don't have to worry about picking up our cross. Jesus did all that, but this is easy for us. And that's where we want to live. And that's why we don't like the word holy. And that's why we don't like the word holiness. You know why? Because the word holy and holiness is the idea that the standard is here, and this is who and what God wants us to be, and this is what we're going to be judged on, not what the world has at the lower standard. I wonder today, if you're shooting spiritually, would you make the shot? How's your holiness today? Where's your life today? Do you have a relationship? Are you even on the team, so to speak? We've sung today. We've prepared today. We've prayed today. We're trying to show you Christ, not because we're trying to celebrate Christmas and have a festive day, because every song that we sang today and every word that I've preached to you today is we're trying to show you that God loves you. Jesus came and He died for you, and He wants to save you from your sins. And then after you become a believer, He wants you to live according to His Word. He wants you to live in holiness. And that's the word that we shouldn't be afraid of. It's a word that we shouldn't run from. It's a word that we should embrace. And so while you may have come to church today thinking, I'm going to celebrate Christmas, maybe God has raked you over the coals today because your life is not being lived in holiness. Your life is not being lived according to the truth of God's Word. And today you have an opportunity to change that. God's list, Christmas list, says, be saved. Live holy. That's what He wants. And again, when we desire to show our love and appreciation to someone else, what do? We gladly give them something back. There's nothing we could ever do that could ever, 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 ever substantiate what God has done for us. But all He wants from us is just our life. He wants our heart. He wants our will to be surrendered to His. And that's all He wants from you today. There's no amount of money that you're going to put in the offering plate in just a few minutes. There's no church that you can join. There's no deed that you could do that would ever earn that to you. It is only by you giving yourself in complete obedience and sacrifice of your will to follow Him that makes all the difference in this world. Are you willing to give yourself today? Are you willing to give God what He wants from His Christmas list? I trust that you are.